You know, I thought about extending into the season, going to the 10 games, coming back, being a distraction. But, you know, my love for the game, my teammates, I just wouldn't do that. So, you know, obviously that's something I made a decision to do back in January. And we got to this point. And so now it's we're over it. It's solved for the time being, and we're just ready to move on. It was nothing to be gained. It was simply, you know, a dispute over money. At the end of the day, it was nothing. There was no win or loss. It was my production speaks for itself. And that's how I felt, and that's how I still feel. It is behind. I mean, I've never been a guy to come in here. If I say it's behind, I mean, I've been open to talk. Obviously, I don't like to talk about my business and in the public. And I think I said that before. But for me, it's more just I'm back with my teammates, playing football again, a game I love, and I'm just ready to get back with them. I mean, I saw a bunch of them today, talked with a bunch of them last night, and I can't wait to get back and get going. I think I'm game ready now. But once again, I have to understand the terminology, the playbook. I had the OTA's playbook. I didn't have the camp playbook, but I got the gist of a lot of things. It's really just getting used to the terminology, going out there with practice and just repetition with it and being ready to play. Yeah, I think we went through that last year. I didn't practice in camp at all last year, not until I think week four of preseason maybe. So, I mean, a week away, and I was able to perform through the season. So, like I said, it's just about getting back and getting used to the way things are called, how they're in the huddle, just a little things like that. Conditioning-wise, I feel like I'll be fine. It really wasn't about budging. For me, you know, it got to the point where I wasn't going to be traded. Obviously, they weren't going to pay me like we just talked about. And it just came back to, like I said, I could have easily sat out till week 10 if I wanted to. I could have came back and been a distraction. And I could have came back a couple weeks ago and did that. But it wasn't about that. And so, I said, my love for the game and my teammates and just – I'm not going to come back and distract guys from playing the game the right way. And so that's just kind of how it came about. And, you know, I'm here. I'm just going to play. I'm just going to play. I can't worry about next year. I only can worry about right now. You know what I mean? I've never been a guy to look in the past or look in the future and say, well, you know, if I do this, if I do that, I don't think I would be here right now if I did that. I just focus on what I can do today. And right now that's meeting with Coach Malark. I already met with him. Doing everything I can to show that I'm ready to play and then let them make a choice on how much I'm going to play or if I'm going to play at all. Yeah, well, I think open for trade is you know, saying if that's where we have to go to get this thing done, let's do that. But as I said, at the end of the day, you know, neither of those things were going to work out. So you know, I'm here, ready to play. You know, I can say this. I was disappointed about the comments. I expect guys, you guys or people outside the organization to make those comments like that. But when you do get it inside the organization, how hard you work with the time you put in through the off season, the time you spend away from your family here at the facility, you expect a little more, I guess, appreciation. But at the end of the day, I mean, we're discussing something that's very fragile in this business or very fragile in this game. And it's, you know, certain people handle certain things different ways. And it was just kind of like, hey, it is what it is, but I'm ready to play football now. And we'll get back to it. No, I don't. Can I explain why I don't? The last 2 years has been over $200 million guaranteed to the running back position. Not only that, in total contracts, it's nearly over $500 million to a position that you call devalued. So I'm trying to figure out if that's devaluing. What is valuing? What is the value?
No, I'm talking about as far as the game that you play. Like
the Giants were 32nd in runs. Right? They were 32nd, but when they made their run in the playoffs, they averaged 120 yards a game rushing. So, yes, yeah, stats, in certain ways you can say stats, they do this, they mean that, but – when the time came down to it, the last, I think, five or six games with the Giants, they ran the ball better than anybody in the league at the time, and they were able to be balanced. And that's how they were able to beat the Niners and beat the Patriots and whoever else they had to play. So I really don't think the running back position is being devalued at all. I think in order for you to be successful in this league, you can ask New England. They'll tell you the same thing. They're looking for a running back right now that can be an every down back that can get those short, tough yards or whatever it may be. Green Bay. They went and got Cedric Benson because they feel the same way about it. I don't think the running back position is being devalued at all. That's what you guys like to say. But in this league, in order to be a great offense, it's about being balanced, having a 50-50 balance. Yes, you want to have a great quarterback that can take over the game when the time's needed, but if you ask him to do it so many times, he's going to get worn down. The team's going to start to understand how to play him. And when you have someone that can set that off, a running back or something to make that offense where you can pass a run, have that threat throughout the whole game, that's what made the Giants last year so dangerous in the playoffs.
Well, the conversation we had between myself and Mr. Khan and then obviously Mr. Smith, Gene Smith, that's between us. That's not for anybody else.
Yeah, well, Vito, if I listened to what everyone's told me they weren't going to do or what I wasn't going to do, you think I'd be here right now? Because you told me I wasn't going to be here. A lot of guys told me I wasn't going to make it. I knew it was going to be difficult. Let me put it this way. I knew it was going to be a difficult situation. I had 2 years left. I understood that. I understood the whole point of it. But I have – the way I was raised and the way I was grown is if you believe something, you fight for it. And that's for everybody. You fight for whatever you believe. My production stated something, I fought for it, plain and simple. So, yes, it went into a holdout, and, yes, it went into all these different things, reports being written, all that. At the end of the day, that's what it was about, my production and my value. Simple as that. I haven't stopped fighting. I'm going to come out here and play. I think with fans, you know, I had some support in me, some that didn't support me through this whole process. But with everybody, it was all about they just wanted to see football. They wanted to see football being played, and I understand that fully. This is just a side of the game that, you know, it happens. And now we got that out the way, we can get back to football. You know, I think everybody's excited. It was my decision the whole way. Actually, Adisa multiple times, you know, made the side of let's just go back and let's work this thing out. But this was my whole decision. I mean, it's funny that people try to say I didn't make it. To me, that's ridiculous. You know, why would I listen to anybody else? You know, it's my life. I'm going to make the decision. I'm going to live with it. And I did. And that's how I'm going to do it. I have no regrets from doing it. And if it came back, you know, if I was able to reborn again, the situation happened again, I'd do it the same way. No, not at all. I mean, with the new CBA and the way things went, the value of the running back went up. As much as they say it was devalued, it went up. And so when you see that, like I said, my production just spoke for itself. And so at the end of the day, it just kind of – that's how it played out. And, you know, I heard from articles saying that there's no way you can outperform a contract. That's a lie. When a team can actually take a pay cut or cut you for underperforming on the other side of the spectrum, they should be able to do the same, the vice versa for you, you know. So, you know, that's just where we are now. And, you know, I'm in a good place because I felt I did something I felt was right. And I'm always going to feel right. I'm not going to feel wrong for doing what I did at all. And that's why I can come back and not have a negative attitude about that. I think if you regret things, you're going to come back salty, be a distraction, things like that. I don't feel that way because what I did was right. No one could tell me it was wrong. Not one person here could say what I did was wrong. And so it just was how it played out, and I'm ready to get back to work. Yeah, that's funny. Well, when Coach Malarkey first got the job, we spoke via text and via through the phone or whatever, but Our everyone knows when the offseason hits, I go to California. And so our schedules kind of prevented us meeting. He had some things to do, and I was end up taking my family back to California. And that's just the end of how it played out. You know, there's no hard feelings from that. I just got out of a 30, 45-minute meeting with Coach Malarkey with no hard feelings. And, you know, we're just going to keep moving forward. They haven't told me anything. You know, I met with Coach Malarkey. He just wanted to meet and just see where I was at and how I felt about things. And then from there, we're just going
to
go on.
It
was great. I mean, like I said, I've been here for 4 years with Rashad. I know he's been a great back. Same with Montel. I've been here with Montel for 6 years. They've done some great things. I was happy for them to go out there. I mean, for the offense to play the way they played was amazing because what we went through last year. We went through something last year I don't think no one else will ever go through ever again. And to see guys come out and fight through that adversity there and to come out and shine like they did, it was great. And I just can't wait to get back out there and play football and compete with those guys and see how it pans out. No, that's not my call. To me, once again, Rashad's done a lot of work, and he's done a lot of great things. It's up to Coach Malarkey, and it's on his call.
Is the goal to start week 1?
For?
The goal for you to start week 1.
My goal is to come in and learn the offense, whatever I can to help the offense, help this team win. It's never been a personal issue. Well, Vito, you made great arguments for me already through Twitter. I mean, this game is so short, you never know when you get injured. Okay. And so security is always the best, right or wrong. Hold on. Can I finish before you interrupt? Security is always the best. So when I did sign that contract, it was a long-term deal. It was a great deal. It was a projected contract. I hadn't started games. It was a great contract for being a projection contract. But elite running backs get paid differently nowadays than I got paid. And like I said, that's what this was all about. My stats suggest that I've been elite the last 3 years. I just wanted to get compensated for it, and that was it. Well, our contracts are different than yours and different than anyone else's. You know, they're unilateral, which means, I don't know, you know what that means, right? Unilateral? No, you don't? Okay, I'm going to explain it to you, okay? All right, Prescott, I got you. I'm going to help you out. We're going to learn as we do this. Exactly. So I'm going to – we're not all blessed and fortunate enough to go to UCLA, but I will help you guys out. You know, when a team – once again, because of CBA issues, the draft, certain things, we can't have – you know, you can't have a doctor come out of med school and a certain hospital say, no, you have to work for us. That doesn't work. You get to shop your services around and whoever wants to go. So with the CBA, you know, they made the contracts unilateral, which means, you know, when you're with the team, only the team has the upper hand to cut you or release you. There's no way you can go out without the team's, you know, blessing, without the team saying you can go do it, is to go out and say, I want to play for this team to get more money. I want to do that. And so, yes, when you do sign that, you do have the security. There are some kind of differences where, you know, it might not work out at the end. And sometimes, you know, in some cases, you get a big bonus at the end. You get a big contract or a big year at the end, like $12 million, $14 million. And then what happens? They either ask you to take a pay cut or they cut you. So this was a different circumstance. And, you know, it played out the way it played out. And like I said, there's certain reasons this thing happened. And, you know, it happened this way. It's just what it was. I think I played with a lot of chips already. You know, I think one more wouldn't bother me, you know what I mean? But it's, like I said, it's, there's no hard feelings. I don't want anyone to think that I hate someone or I'm going to play despite something that was, to me, you know, there's always two sides to, especially in football. There's football, then I don't want to say business because I heard there was a thing on Twitter like how many times is going to say business. So I'm trying to like get the under because I have my people put some money on the under, right? So I'm trying to, but
that's one way to get your fine.
There, I don't know what you're talking about. So that was smart. That was quick, but almost. Anyways, there's always two sides to it, and you have to be able to separate those two. And so I think that's what I'm going to do. See, the problem was we started talking in October last year. So that's where the problem kind of hit. And so that's why it kind of ended up going the way it was. There was a little brief hiccup in the middle with, obviously, with Mr. Khan buying the team and then Coach Malarkey coming in. But, you know, it just played the whole – it was a weird situation. It was a unique situation the whole way through. And it ended up playing out like this. Now we're here and, you know – it just happened. That's how it happened. That's just how the cards ended up being dealt at the time. No, I don't. There was no promises being made at all.
Looking at the way it played out, do you think you'll get another contract from this organization?
I don't know. I mean, I can't control that. You know,
they could have you next year and then franchise.
Yeah, they could. I mean, they could do whatever they want. All I'm gonna do is go out and play. That's all I can control, right? You can control, you know, typing on the laptop, you and Vito. Scratching his ear, or you can, you know, I can worry about, you know, doing this and that and then take away from what I want to do really, which is, you know, play this game at a high level.